Good morning, everyone, and welcome to an incredibly beautiful morning on the mid-north coast. The rain came through last night, cleared things out, and it is a beautiful, beautiful day. Well, thanks for coming back and joining with us again in our study on the Holy Spirit. And perhaps some of you have been surprised at just how gifted and powerful a born-again, Jesus-following Christian is. And you think, I didn't know that. Well, maybe some of you did know. But I think a lot of people had forgotten just how important and how powerful that you are and your Christian brothers and sisters around you. So this morning, what I would like to do is go back to the early church and let's see how they're doing. Keep in mind, most of these people had just been saved and they really hadn't got over the grace of Jesus Christ. I think we have a problem sometimes. We get over the Lord's grace and we're not good advertisement for Jesus. So keep that in mind. Again, these people just got saved. The Holy Spirit had just fallen on them. Now He lives in them. And every one of them has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do something special in the body of Christ for Jesus. And they're just simply trying to find their way forward. Remember, this has never happened before. So what did they do? Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 43. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. First of all, these guys were growing. They were growing by leaps and bounds as they listened to the apostles teach. Well, what did the apostles teach? Well, they didn't have anything but Jesus. So they taught about Jesus. Get that. They taught about Jesus, and the early church grew and exploded. You see, Christianity really is all about Jesus, and I think perhaps it's time we get back to that. And these people, they broke bread together, and they had meals together regularly. They even had the Lord's Supper together. Many times they had the Lord's Supper, and they would often go house to house to have the Lord's Supper. Not just one central location, but house to house to have the Lord's Supper. They had many people leading these things. You see, they didn't go to the church building. That didn't come along until about 300 years later. Let me say it again. The church building and the organization of the church didn't come until about 300 years later. But during that 300 years, the church grew exponentially. So here's a question that we need to ask. Did God really like what the early church was doing? Well, it's obvious that He did. Let's look again in verses number 46 and 47 in Acts chapter 2. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. God gave them favor in the community, and He gave them people getting saved every day. Favor in the community. How long has it been since the church has had favor in the community? Is it available? I think so, if we'll get back to acting like the early church. So, would you like favor with the community and God adding to the church all the time? Well, I know It's possible, because the early church didn't have anything that we don't have. So what's the problem? Well, some say that it's no longer God's will for people to be saved like that. Well, don't give me that. The Bible says, still says, that God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Jesus did, died, and he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that's still in the Bible, and it has not changed. You see, God's desire for the world is that everyone be saved. So what's the problem? Well, we know that God was pleased with the early church because he blessed him. So is God pleased with our church? Is he happy with how we do things? That's the question that needs to be asked. But first, let's go back to the early church and just continue looking at some things that they had. What did they have? Well, simply, they had the words of Jesus taught by the apostles. So what's some things that Jesus taught that might have affected them? Well, one thing, go with me to Luke chapter 10, verse number 27. Somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all of your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Folks, ask yourself that question. Do you love God completely? So, do we sincerely love God with all of our hearts? Do we love him supremely overall? Is God convinced, and he knowing our heart, that we love him completely? Or do we love our jobs over God? Or do we love our routines and traditions over God? How about do we love our hobbies over God? Or do we love our families more than we love God? Let me ask you a question. When you come to church, are you expecting an experience with God? Now, come on. Are you really? I know you're expecting an experience with your brothers and sisters in Christ. But when we come to church and assemble as the church of God in the world, are we experiencing or anticipating an experience with God? It's a pretty good question. You see, whenever we come together sometimes, our conversation is far away from God. It's about this and that and the other, and I'm guilty of that too. But are we talking about an experience with God? So, is God pleased with our fellowship? We're all tempted to say, well, I'm pleased with it, so God must be pleased. Let me give you some things from the Bible and see if we can still hold to that conclusion. If you go back to the Old Testament, there's time after time after time that the Jews were doing sacrifices as prescribed in the Old Testament, and God come up and says, I reject that. I reject your music. I reject your sacrifices. What was wrong? God knew their heart. Let's go to the New Testament. There were seven churches in Revelation that thought they were doing things right. They thought God was pleased with them. But here is seven churches that God threatened to remove the candlestick for the most of them. Now, I don't know what that means completely, but it could not be good for God to remove your candlestick. I don't want that. And there was one fat, happy, complacent, relaxed church that even made God sick. So what does God think of our fellowship? Well, let's go again back to the early church and see what else that they had. It was obvious that the early church loved each other because they were selling the things that they possessed and passed it around and gave it to the people who had need without complaining. these people were really showing from the sacrifices they were making that they honestly loved each other. So they loved God, and they loved people. But what did Jesus say about loving each other? Well, go with me to John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Normally, we take this and we run right straight to the disciple part. They will know we are Christians by our love. You know, we do that. But I think we have a more important part we need to look at. You see, Jesus said, love others. Listen, love others as I loved you. Well, how did he love us? Well, first, Jesus suffered humiliation for us. Would we do that for each other? Secondly, he emptied himself of so much of who he was. Would we even humble ourselves to love somebody that we may not even like? Well, would we? Jesus gave his life for you and me. Would you give your life for me? Would I give my life for you? You see, that's how we're supposed to love each other. And I believe loving God like he wants to be loved and loving each other the way we're supposed to will turn the Holy Spirit loose in our midst to do what he wants to do. But there is one more thing that I, as a pastor, need to think about. My job is to encourage you to be the best that you were recreated to be. You see, as Christians, you are supernaturally gifted to minister in our church and in our community. And my role is to encourage you to be the best that you can be. Let me explain. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up of the body of Christ. This is from Paul. Let me read that last line again, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, to the build up of the body of Christ. My job is to equip you and release you to be the best that God has recreated you to be for Jesus. You are a highly skilled, supernaturally gifted Christian, and you are gifted with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the building up of the body of Christ. And collectively, all those gifts working together should change our church and should change our community. But this also tells me that some of you sitting right here or listening today are gifted communicators and gifted teachers. And you're sitting here listening to me. I think it's time that you start fulfilling your gift and start building up the body of Christ. First, some of you need to be leading some groups of some kind in the community to fulfill your gift and build up the body of Christ. Some of you are gifted to encourage others. You need to be encouraging people. You know it gives you a thrill to be an encouragement to someone. You need to do that because Jesus has gifted you in that area. Some are gifted in serving. You're supernaturally gifted to serve. Are you serving people? I think it's time that we all get started being all that we can be for Jesus. So let me wrap this up. I believe that when we start loving God as He wants and deserves to be loved, and I believe whenever we start loving others like Jesus loved us, and I believe when we start engaging with the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work through us to where we could be all that we're recreated to be, then I believe God will send people to us regularly. Do you want that? I think it's time that we start doing these three things. What do you think? Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of what you are saying. This is not radical stuff. This is straight biblical truth. Help us to apply it in our lives. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.